be out there and tell them if they come down, you know, where to go. And I brought this again if anybody, you know, hadn't had a look.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're leaving us.
So big
oh, she will be
there. Mr. Craig, que la la pared.
No flaw.
It is. Mr. Craig, yeah.
Huh?
Mr. Craig,
yeah. Yeah.
Ja, það er allar sem nær þér. Thank you.
Lights.
Yeah.
Let there be lights.
So we will formally start this now and by saying, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
My name is Birna T. Conrad-Storin and I welcome you all to Borganes, where we will discuss the downfall of the local savings bank. The reason for me being here today is that I studied this topic when I wrote my BA thesis, and the research was such a secrecy that I couldn't mention the names of my sources in the thesis. And I had to delete all my records.
Whoa.
And wow. You will hear at the end why it was. But when I was preparing this, I had to get a permission from my supervisor to use in this way, like I said, deleting afterwards everything, because this is not very common in BA work. And he thought about it and said, well, then okay, I will agree. Then when he got my notes, what I've typed in, he said, no, we can't delete this. This is too valuable. We have to keep it. And I said, no. Those people were willing to talk to me because I promised to delete everything, and I'm going to keep that. So when you have read this, I will take the paper out of your hands, and you don't see them anymore. Well, we were sorry, but we knew that was the only way to get the information. So, today I'm gonna tell you true stories. Stories, excuse me, of two institutions that were established here in this town at similar time. They grew up together, walked through the decades hand in hand, and face the downfalls or less activity at similar time. To understand the tremendous effect of these downfalls had in this district, we must go back in time so you will see how everything was in between and why the effects were as we know now. So, the year is 1900. Major changes are occurring in Icelandic society in the first years of this new century. We had our first Icelandic minister, 1904. Women could vote a little bit later, and we became independent the year 1918 from the Danish. Here, as in many other villages, the inhabitants were mainly laborers. Most of them poor, with unstable work and income, but managed to survive since they owned a cow or two, horse, and some sheep. Merchants lived here, much richer than the rest of the population. Mm-hmm. And the village just recently had become a legal trading place that made a difference. It's intertwined into our national soul to be independent. Everyone wanted to be able to take care of themselves and their family. In this small village, the inhabitants could be that, even though there were, to begin with, no electricity, no running water or toilets. All major decisions concerning the development of the village were made on a public meetings, which continued until after the Second World War. Many things here in Iceland, being a part of being independent as a group, is having a store and a bank. The merchants were supplying the inhabitants, but some found the merchandise was too expensive and the buyers couldn't do anything about it. So farmers, along with the villagers, founded a cooperative purchasing society, a COA. Everything was ordered beforehand from aboard and came to harbor in the spring. This arrangement started in year 904, and 1912, the co-op opened a permanent store in the village. The difference was huge, and the merchant went away by time. This co-op was owned by the villagers and the farmers. And the year after, 1913, the local saving bank, or the community bank, was founded. A farmer that had lived close by had heard about similar banks in Germany that were owned by the people and run to help the public to invest the money and help them to settle in by offering rather cheap loans. What was special about this bank compared to others similar in Iceland, and that is very important, was that it was owned by the people in the community, and an official district committee was responsible for its operation. It was meant to serve the region, and this formation, having the district as a formal owner, was done to ensure that no one else outside of the area could interfere. Later, when this official county committee was discontinued by law, the local authorities here became the formal owner, representing the inhabitants as the committee had done before. So now, in this small village, there are both a bank and a store, owned by the people and run by it. On top of that, both boards of the bank and the co-op were elected on a yearly meetings. They were not specialists, they were the public, representing the people that owned them. For decades, both the co-op and the bank developed and became larger. For a while, 9 out of 10 working people in the village here worked at the co-op. It had a big warehouse, milk factory, slaughterhouse, meat production, and much more. The locals used a phrase among themselves as a joke. That is, if one couldn't get it at the co-op, it wasn't necessary at all. But what I found when I was a kid, a little bit odd about this phrase, was that the co-op didn't sell any wine or beer or liquor or anything, but I saw some people using that, so I asked my father, if it can't be bought in the co-op, why are they doing that? Well, I just got a funny face as a response from my father, but yeah, it was a huge question I found at the time. But for years, the bank was only a local saving bank. But in the year 2000, the board got permission to sell stocks and established a department to take care of that. Later, that really made a difference and probably was one of the reasons for the bankruptcy. Just a bit before that happened, discussions were opened here about selling the bank. The locals were furious. Selling our bank was totally out of question. Similar discussion happened later, both 2002 and 2007, after the merge of the commune in this area. But the answer was always no, it's not for sale. Last century, things were changing rapidly. Increased buying power in Iceland, as in many other countries worldwide, gave new opportunities and wider horizon since people were able to travel more. The old co-op stores through the country were not following, and perhaps also remains from older times. One by one they went down, Here people knew there were difficulties, but nothing compared to what was proven to be true. Probably one can say it came to light in the year 1995, when almost every property it had was sold. In the year 2002, the co-op tried to rebuild its former fame by buying a meat production to operate with the slaughterhouse. The bank and the commune were owners, among others, and this new company also had a loan within the bank. 5 years later, the bank closed this operation, and I don't recall that it had been done before against the co-op. Like I say, they were like siblings. They worked together, mm-hmm. grew up together, but suddenly at that time, 2007, the bank said, so now this co-op is only running a small store. And a new phrase became real in this area. Well, you lost the co-op, but at least you still have the bank. It's something to hang on, you know. So as you recall, our bank could now buy and sell stocks. Same as other saving banks, it did so. The locals were very proud of it, not least because it donated more money to all kinds of sports, choirs, culture, and you just name it. Compared to the size, one could say that the donations were very small, but most of the population were happy. The bank was supporting the society as it should and had been put in its charter in the beginning, or at the beginning. The bank made a new slang for itself. We are the cornerstone of the county, nothing less. But not that much later, rumors were spreading again, stating that the bank was not a cornerstone anymore, only a grump, since many believed that the wealth of the bank weren't based on real values. It wasn't serving the county as it had done before, and the loans weren't cheap anymore. Everything concerning banking had grown drastically in Iceland and in many other countries, as did our bank. And as I said, some inhabitants were very proud, others were skeptical. The growth continued. In the year 2003, the board of the bank made a decision to enlarge the bank even further. And that same year, the founding documents were changed for the first time from the previous statement saying that the bank should serve the district into that the serving area was the whole country. And in the changes made 2008, the serving area was not identified. Then, in November the year 2007, the local authorities decided to increase their initial capital in the bank. Lot of people found that odd, especially the timing. Why now? Wasn't everything as great as they said? The major was not willing to explain that any further, but a lot of people wanted answer, but couldn't get any. So, now we are in May 2008. The manager, the chairman of the bank, met with the local council, but they didn't say directly that the situation were very serious. Rather, that everyone should be cautious. And that was odd. And another thing, was odd, that at the general meeting 2 months before, they hadn't announced anything. Then in June, the 19th, the manager of the bank called the major asking for a meeting immediately with the local council. Later that same day, he arrived with the chairman to a highly secretive meeting and officially no minutes was written. The members of the council told me that they will never forget this date, since the errand was to tell them that the asset financing was below legal threshold. Most members of the council from that time agree upon that saving the bank wasn't possible or hadn't been possible, since the debts were simply too high. To begin with, they tried to sell the bank. But most of the banks in Iceland were in trouble too, as we learned later. But one bank, Kaupthing, was though interested, and the end of July, the year 2008, a letter of intent was signed about Kaupthing would step in with increased initial capital, about 2 million Icelandic krona. And the legal form of the bank would be changed into limited company, LTD, and the representative body agreed. The 13th of August, there was a huge public meeting held in the biggest hall in this town. There, the bank manager and the chairman told the public that the community bank was in a serious trouble. But everything would be fine, since another bank was willing to step in. People were very surprised, even though some knew that something was wrong. No one believed that situations were so serious. But things weren't as they seemed. For these changes to go through, the Financial Supervisory Authority in Iceland, FSA, would have to agree upon them, and it needed further information. Those hadn't been handed in when FSA took over the operation of Kaupthing the 9th of October. And every Icelander remembered the speech of the Prime Minister 3 days before, where he asked God to help Iceland. All kinds of feelings arose afterwards. The public had been told that the bank would still be in operation, but that didn't come true. And a part of the inhabitants thought that perhaps somebody had benefited from this bankruptcy, especially when learned that the former manager got a plentiful pension and a new car when he quit. No one else got anything. Some of the board members and the staff got very cold greetings from the inhabitants, yeah. So much that few of them moved out of town. The public was searching for someone to blame. Hardly anyone lost their savings in this downfall. Some companies became bankrupt, but they had mainly their businesses elsewhere. Some employees of the bank lost their jobs, others quit. Looking back, this time in Iceland was from all aspects very special. The country itself was almost bankrupt. For a very short period, we didn't have any functional bank within the country, for example. But here, in this small community, our bank was the first in Iceland to collapse. And as I said, it was just a beginning of what to come. And in our town, suddenly, neither of the former anchors were there anymore. The co-op was hardly anything compared to former fame, and the bank was gone. My conclusion is that for the public, the loss was mainly concerning pride and perhaps the feeling that independence was lost. We weren't self-sufficient anymore and didn't have anything to be proud of. The reason for the downfall could partly be the composition of the board. They weren't specialists, as you remember. Partly because the bank manager didn't do as told, along with the fact that people in charge gambled. plus, of course, the situation at the financial market. This local institution wasn't there anymore, a bank that had been established to serve the public in the county. This was happening 2008. I wrote the thesis 2015. People are still downloading it all those years later. They are still asking questions all those years later, and the main one is probably how and where did we lose the track? Thank you. So if you have any questions, please.
How did the timing of your bank collapse compare to the timing of what was going on in the United States?
Well, I think we were almost the first all over, this small bank here. I think so. This was, well, as I said, the 19th of June. We know, well, we didn't know that, the public, but the town council knew that the bank was not in a operative state anymore. I'm not sure that I've, at that time, had heard about anyone else elsewhere. Weren't they in the States later in the summer?
Yes.
I think
but
so, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that early.
And at least I do know that we were the first in Iceland, because the rest of the banks, they collapsed one by one in a very short period of time.
Is that when you say our town, or is it this town?
Yeah.
Or is it the whole peninsula?
Well, that town was, the bank was, of course, serving the whole district, so, but it was located here in this town.
Was it one of the three big banks here in Iceland?
None of them were here, though, no.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, one had a branch here before, but I think they were, I think they had shut it down a little bit, but that branch that was here was Kaupthing, that was willing to buy. And they were actually, they were actually rather, what is that?
Corrupt?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, everyone heard, actually. But it was very strange that why they were willing to buy it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I was doing the researches, I found finally out why. That was because of the stocks that our bank had in other banks and in the other banks. And one of those banks in that line was a huge owner of Kaupthing. So they wanted to have a bigger share of their own ownership.
Mm.
And by doing so, they could say to the public and to the market, well, everything is fine with us. And when the market heard about that, their stocks increased in value, because they were doing some things to increase their own value, you know?
Speculating. Right?
Yeah, so that was the thing. But
did it fail because people were taking their money out of the bank?
Well,
because they were afraid what would happen?
No, not here. That was one of the discussion that the town council had with the bank manager and the chairman, because one of the members of the council, he wanted to fire them both on the spot. Go away. You haven't done what you were supposed to do. You're going to find someone else to run the bank. But then, when they thought it over, they said, well, that could actually take down the bank, because people were rushing and then withdraw their savings. So they didn't do that. But the bank manager that got highly pensioned and a new Range Rover when he quit, he was very clever. He had probably many little helpers all over the place. At that meeting here in August, he said, or just a bit later, I don't remember, but he said, well, I'm 65 now. It's time for me to step back and enjoy my rest of my life and being with my grandchildren, you know. And because we didn't know when he resigned that the other bank wouldn't step in. Well, therefore, he got this new car and this highly rewarded pension.
Mm-hmm.
But then, 2 weeks later, people knew that there was something fishy there.
Yeah.
And no one told us about that, that they had counter company that was going over the the papers from the bank. They didn't want to sign them. That was in April, because they said, well, you don't have all the information that we need. There are some numbers here that we don't understand, so we are not going to sign this for you. You are going to find someone else. So the yearly papers that should have been ready at the annual meeting in April, they weren't handed in because no one had signed the papers. And no one said anything. Yes, ma'am.
Were they members of the community? Were all the bank executives members of the community they represented?
Excuse me?
Their families live here.
Did they live in the community?
The guy that got the new car and the pension?
Oh, yeah, the bank manager. Yeah, he is still living here.
That's how I remember.
Yeah.
Is he still here?
Where
is he?
I haven't seen him. But I'm told that he lives here still.
Okay.
I saw him a year ago or something at the convenience store across the road there, and it was a little bit funny. It was like his tie was stuck in his zipper, and he was so. And I'm told that he goes along with his wife, but he sits in the car while she do the shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I feel sorry for him. I'm not quite sure. But it must be a rather dull life being just, you know, there
invisible.
In some kind of isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he get his pension in one lump sum, or was it supposed to be? Yeah.
60 million Icelandic kronas at that time. And well, my salaries aren't that low, but I would never be able to save 60 million in my working life. Well, not least at that time. So it's a lot.
Wow.
It was a lot of money, and like I say, a new Range Rover. So. Yeah.
So was that the money of the people in the community?
Probably just came from the bank. The board was awarding him for a good job, even though. In October the year before, when the board told him to sell the stocks and he didn't want to do it, actually at that time they should have given him the kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they didn't do it. And that is often the problem in a small communities like this.
That's right.
You know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you become friends. And, poor guy. Oh, you know, this tone of voice. It is difficult to be the bad guy against someone that you've worked with for perhaps a decade or something. Yeah.
Does the national government have any oversight in the banking system of the community banks?
Well,
someone should have been able to see this from outside if they're supposed to make reports.
Yeah, someone should have.
But there's no federal or no national
oversight. Well, that is this FSA thing that should have done it. But they didn't do it, and they should
the
have checked
either.
That regularly if everything was all
right.
But
this is something that didn't happen just over a year.
No. Yeah. Well, the main it down the slope started 2007 very quickly.
Well, didn't 2003? I thought I read something that in 2003 the country said the banks. Could be sold, the major banks could be sold, and that's when they started getting into the international funds and getting the three major banks.
Yeah, here in Iceland, you mean?
Right,
yeah.
They got involved more globally.
the commercial bank.
And they went from like just a few billion, it said they had like a $5 billion in assets, the three major banks in 2003 to $140 billion in 2005 or 8. Yeah, they just grew exponentially. Yeah.
It was like a balloon that you were blowing.
Yeah.
Right.
No. It was very fast. But the commercial banks, the main banks in Iceland, they there are different rules that are for them than the community banks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a little bit different. And all of these banks, the community banks, they were intertwined in their organizations. They were meeting, they were buying stocks from each other, and to be able to
inflate
help the
price.
Market that they, as you see, we are getting bigger, it's everything is good, and you know. But at the end, it was a fraud, everything, you know.
Mm.
All of the banking systems were like that.
Ponzi scheme.
So all the people in the community lost their money in the bank?
No, we didn't lose our money. Our savings, because the government stepped in everywhere. So here, even though the bank was that unstable, and like I said, fell down, our money were saved here. But what happened afterwards, after this God Bless Iceland speech of the Prime Minister, was that inflation became sky high. So it was difficult for us to pay our loans and our mortgages, and of course that followed by interest also became very high. So that was the main problem afterwards. But even though here in this local area, I don't recall that anyone lost their home, but over 6,000 homeowners lost their all over the island. So even though we were lucky, it wasn't the case everywhere. So, yeah. And very many companies were shut down, and because people couldn't pay their debts.
You started by saying that the information you were giving us, you had to essentially shred every time you shared. Is that still true? Or are you sharing stuff with us that is secret?
I haven't mentioned any names.
Okay.
So that is what was the main issue.
Now, is it the names of the people that are culpable or the people that shared the names with you?
No, well, everything was proven or liable, all my sources. But when I didn't go by any rumor or anything, I just went to the person in question and said, are you willing to share with me how it was?
Mm-hmm.
And the most common answer that I got was, well, okay, since it's you, and we know you are liable and you keep your promises, I'm going to say yes. It was very funny. It was 17 people that I interviewed. 17. The meeting places, they were many of them very special. I remember when I visited the chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me to come a particular day. That day, his wife was not home. He wanted me to park my car far away. It had to be dark.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Situations were like that.
Yeah, okay.
Another one that was a member of the council, he asked me to, because I was in a board with him elsewhere where he worked. So he asked me to come where he worked because that would be natural that we were meeting there because we had done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a cafe, not in his home. So it was like that. And yeah. So no one was should know, even though, like the chairman, we worked together in another field that was actually his specialty. It was concerning salmon and trout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he was afraid that someone would see me, especially when the thesis would be become public,
mm-hmm.
and then someone would say, ah, okay, so she talked to him. Obviously, because, you know, people would add together two and two and get that four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the reason for her being there in the night, because he was having some information from him. The only person that didn't ask for an interview was the bank manager. Perhaps I will do that later. Perhaps he wants to write about his book about his years in the bank. I don't know. But
yeah,
I haven't asked him.
His new yacht, the bestseller.
But like I say, these were the anchors of the society, the co-op and the bank. And people were so proud of it. I remember when I was a kid, I was told that the co-op was the second or third largest one in Iceland, and same with the bank. And everyone knew that. So they were, the adults were building up a pride within the younger generation about these two.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, nothing.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about this, what was it, you know, one of these bankers was the son of the chairman of your co-op, you know, one time, wasn't it? Olav Rolason. But
yeah,
was that naked?
No, well, that
now
was...
Now we have to kill you.
That was
no, I'm just talking to her, you know, privately.
Uh-huh.
Because,
yeah, well,
you know, he was one of the bankers that was jailed, but his father used to be the chairman or manager of the co-op, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was not in this bank, though.
No, okay.
No.
Okay.
And he has a shipping company and all
kinds. Yeah, managed to solve.
Yeah.
You know, we're not
and
yeah.
Like I said, Kaupthing, they got the biggest loan in Icelandic history from the government or the central bank 2 days before they were taking over and closed down.
Mm.
They got the money, it was 80 billion, 80 billion Icelandic kronas, and because the information they gave to the government were of course false, and the government was trying to hang on this sinking ship to have at least one bank functioning within the country. Somehow they managed to wire those money to probably a small beautiful island in the south somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least they have never been found. And the government didn't get them back. The government didn't get the money back. They just got it 2 days before and wired them immediately abroad.
Wow.
And I don't know where they are.
Mm. It seems interesting that a government would wire money to some bank
They gave it to the bank and the bank manager and his staff, they wired
it.
It
was
them.
A step in
yeah.
the
yeah.
The government did it to the Caymans? Or
but, and then
the
both of the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance, they were of course asked by the media a million times, are you getting our money back? And they couldn't answer it. Of course, we did get them back.
No.
They are probably in Tortola or somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, what did they say happened to the money? I mean, if they don't have it, where'd it go?
Well,
we know where it went, but they must have had some excuse as to why they never answered it.
They didn't answer that, and therefore
no
they
comment.
So did they go to jail?
Yeah.
Or we're looking into that.
One of them went to jail, and it was a luxury jail, actually.
Well, sure.
On the Snæfellsnes Peninsula. They had every other weekend off. a helicopter came to pick them up. They had new beddings and new computers, and you know, it was. They were treated like the president. Well, at least that what we found that they were. And I think the maximum penalty was 5 years. If you were behaving nicely, you could get probably 2.5. And I think no one was being there longer than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they, of course, they could do all the businesses and everything. You know, they had their computers with them and
couldn't go home at night.
Yeah,
you
just couldn't go home at night.
So
like COVID,
it was just like another office.
Yeah.
So how has the community come back after all of this? Have they revived the co-op? Have they...
I have that feeling that it's still a lot of negativity
mm-hmm.
going on here. I don't live in this town anymore. I was brought up here.
Mm.
I live in a very small village close by called Kvanneri. But of course, everyone are on Facebook.
Yeah.
So one can see a lot of things there. And we have groups, like one is for this town called Borganes, where you can discuss things. What I find interesting is that people very often get into negativity very shortly. Like they can be arguing about should we have this kind of flower there or not. Who took the blue flower? It has always been there.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter at all if it's blue, green, yellow, whatever, you know. And that is something you just ask someone else or some in other places. But
I'm glad it doesn't happen in the United States.
So I have a feeling that people are more willing to argue over nothing and anything.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And, I Both think that is a little bit worldwide, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
And,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People argue.
So, what you're representing your community and telling us, if I'm understanding correctly, what happened here, and how about all of Iceland? How is this representing what happened in Iceland? The country.
Okay. I took a U-turn there in education. So my first U-turn was a modern study. It was called Modern Studies. And in there I did this BA thesis. Then I went forward into social science and my MA thesis was about trust. In that one, I was researching if we had gained the trust again, overall, the Icelanders, not this local area, but the Iceland. I did a survey and asked people about the trust, trust in the banking system, politicians, and stuff like that. That was done 2017. 2 years later than this one. The trust isn't back, or wasn't back at that time. People found that the banks were treating them very badly since it wasn't their fault that how they handled things and why they were so greedy as they were, if you can say that. Also, people found that the politicians hadn't done their jobs either, because hardly any laws have been made to prevent this occurring again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the politicians' party at this time, 2009, they made the suggestion that what should be done is that take 20% off every loan that the Icelandic families had.
Mm.
By doing so, the people would see and understand and feel that the government was willing to step in and help people to gain back their strength. Since that party, well, that is my explanation. Since that party wasn't leading the government at that time,
mm.
They just did this, and it wasn't done. Very many people that I have talked to about this, like accountants and other banking people, say that this was the most foolish no that the parliament had given, because rebuilding and regaining things and positivity has been so much slower because of that wasn't done for people. A lot of people moved away from Iceland. They just left their houses or homes behind and said, what the heck, I'm never going to be able to pay this. So I'm just going to leave the house here, bank it, come and take it if it won't. And very many of them went to Norway. I don't know, I don't remember the numbers. They were quite
huge.
Many. Yeah, it was. So, of course, since we have or are brought up in an island like that, that you are facing nature in all kind of situation, we are used to stand up and just do what has to be done and adapt to situations. But we aren't there yet, though, perhaps this year. But there one thing that I don't like about my Icelanders is that this year, a bit last year too, I have that feeling that people are stepping into this same balloon as we were before. Like, people are selling small houses to buy bigger ones. You see more and more people on a brand new cars driving around. They are spending more than it did. So I have that feeling that either is this our way to cope with COVID? It could be. We are very unpredictable that way. We just do it. Or have people forgotten 2008 and are back into similar track? I hope that is wrong, but I'm not sure.
Is the Icelandic government, do they have a program like federally insured deposits? Like they insure, the government insure deposits in the banks now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did that actually also before the main loss was because of the inflation and the high interest, because people couldn't pay. And we have, concerning our mortgages, I have a problem with that word.
Mortgages.
We have a phenomenon here in Iceland that no one else have, I think, verðtrygging.
Inflation?
No,
I can't remember the word for that.
It is a thing. Okay, when you take a loan to buy your house, it's not only secured for the bank by the interest rates, they also have some kind of insurance on it that is related to inflation. And if the inflation is increasing, that thing is also added on the loan. So you both get inflation effects, you get higher rates, and then you have this third thing. And no one understands why we have it, and I don't think there is an English word for it.
No, we don't have anything like that.
No?
You can pay your loan off.
I have no and like in Europe, people just stare at me and say, what?
Now wait, this is protecting the banks, not the people?
Right. Kind of like a balloon.
So the bank will get...
Well, so yeah, it's like an interest-only loan.
It is...
Variable interest rate loan that's tied... That's tied to the interest rate...
Of the day.
Right.
Yeah, it is... It is.
But we can have those, but they're only like a quarter percentage that can go up.
There's a limit.
Is there a limit? Pardon?
They call it indexation.
Right.
Indexation.
Indexation.
Okay.
Yes. I looked it up on the Google Translate.
Yeah.
In taxation.
Yeah, that's a variable rate.
Yeah.
More right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been
if I'm hearing you guys correctly, it's for us, there's a cap on it, whereas she's saying there is no cap.
Right.
No, per year.
Per year, well, per 6 months. Well, most of them per six months.
Well, yeah.
But there's like 6%. It could go up 6% over the life of the loan.
Yeah, over the life of the loan. But hers, it sounds like they could probably go up 600%.
Right.
A
year.
Oh, yeah. Well, in 1 month, it could change your loan so rapidly that a loan was, say, $10 million yesterday would be $25 million tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot.
And that is, nuts. You know, that is what happened after the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I remember I had a loan within the bank. It's just a small loan. It was 20 millions, I think it was. And I was going to pay that down in 40 years. Over 2 months, it was 125 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I went to the bank and said, how on earth am I going to pay this? It's not my fault. You just have to find a way to do it. No.
Right. You explain to me.
That's not how much I borrowed.
And therefore, I say, every citizen in Iceland that had a loan, they were facing the same thing. Therefore, taking 20% off would be a very smart move. But it wasn't done.
Hmm.
So... And therefore, of course, people lost the trust in both politicians and the banking system.
Yeah.
They are not willing to do anything for us. They just want our money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't pay, just...
So do people just now save money to buy a home instead of borrowing money?
No.
Because I know in Tahiti they do that. Nobody borrows money. They save money until they have enough,
to buy
the house.
When I was a kid, we were savers. We saved money, especially if you were buying something else, like something smaller than a house or a apartment. I remember when me and my husband started to live together, we needed a bed to sleep on. And we had money, so we bought it. Later on, we needed a couch, and we had saved, so we could buy it. Same with the car that we bought first time. But when it came to apartment, the first payment is that high in Iceland. There was no way for us, even though we were having good salaries,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't buy it. Perhaps a bigger than a small tent. That is the thing, you know. So that was very often so in previous time in Iceland. People tried to save for their needs. It even didn't matter if they were identified real or just something that you wanted. But when it came to buying yourself a home, then you have to go to the bank and have a loan.
So can you go get a bank go get a loan from another country, like Denmark? Would they?
We did that. Many people did that, actually, before the crisis. And what also made very many people furious was that you could have a loan from abroad. It was a mixed loan with, a euro, dollars and kronas, Danish kronas or something. Then the ratio in between those were different compared to what was best for you. Okay, so people did that mainly when they were buying cars. After the crisis, all currencies were up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't transfer any money from abroad to begin with. So those loans, they became very high, but if I remember correctly, the government stepped in and corrected that afterwards when the currency value of the Icelandic kronas went down again a little bit. So people with the loans in foreign currencies, they got their money back, but not the regular Icelander that had a loan with the Icelandic banks. Mm-hmm. Banks. So, and especially people that lived within the countryside, they got the less support of all, if any. Mm-hmm. And of course, for this area, this was a service town, you know, based on the service for the people that lived in the countryside, and the co-op was here in at its best. So the farmers, they were actually the supporters or the backbone for this town. That was, of course, very interested that, interesting that, and the farmers have been the backbones for all societies in Iceland until recently, you know, because first we were only farmers, and of course a little bit, we had small boats that we could go out and have some fish, so farmers and fishermen. And we thanked them so greatly by giving them the hardest time after the crisis.
Yeah.
It's like
mm-hmm.
we treat the old people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Many countries do, sorry
yeah.
to say.
I just wanted to say we've been here almost an hour and we don't want to, you know, you could probably talk a bit all night, so but maybe a couple of more questions. And
yeah, well,
yeah.
Please don't hesitate to ask if it's.